Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and with me, as usual, is my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek.
It's great to see you, Alan, and I'm really excited that we're back together on the show. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much.
And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain.
While bringing answers and options to making your lives happier, healthier, and more successful.
Now, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more.
We'll introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family.
Now, with our experience working with families in crisis, we've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us.
Well, it's great to be back here, Alan, after a great Thanksgiving weekend. And I know that you've had some struggles this weekend, but we also have good news. And people out there listening to our show that really appreciate the Attitude of Gratitude Journal and listening in, we wanted to thank you guys for always listening. And I was excited, Alan, about the email you received. So hopefully, will you share a little about that?
Well, I certainly will. And first, I mean, thank you for your kind wishes. For those that don't know, my family ended up spending Thanksgiving in a hospital. Unfortunately, my mother had some health issues, and we were forced to spend the time there. The good news is that I've been on the phone with her this morning, and they're suggesting that she may be able to go home today. So I'm very thankful for that. And in regards to the email that we got, now this one we're very happy to get. This one reads, I just want to share that my wife and I printed out copies of your Attitude of Gratitude Journal about a month ago, delivering and asking each family member to fill it out and plan to read some of it on Thanksgiving Day. The email says, which we did, and then says, wow. This was the best Thanksgiving our family has had in years, maybe ever. Hearing what each of us was truly thankful for was such a blessing. Thank you for putting it together, and I highly recommend it to all families that don't already do something like this. So I suggest you do so with your friends and your family members to make all of us feel much more grateful and thankful.
It is it's a great thing, and you can see it on our website, the Attitude of Gratitude Journal. And I think you made your son fill it out too, correct?
Yes, I did. I asked both my sons too, so the nice part is they're filling it out, and it's to be completed before Christmas. So when we're sitting down to Christmas dinner, we will all sit down and read where we're at and what we're most thankful for.
Well, we have that's the sunny side of things, and then unfortunately you shared a little bit about your Thanksgiving weekend. And when we were discussing it, my ears perked up when you were discussing a little bit about the healthcare system and the costs involved. And we'll get into some of the details of that later, but our guest today, actually, it fits in seamlessly because we're very, very happy and lucky to have Frank Lawley here, who's chronicled his experience with the healthcare system in the New York Times op-ed piece, A Health Insurance Detective Story, and has since become the healthcare detective in a variety of publications and media outlets, including regular commentary on news and health for National Public Radio's Robin Hood Radio.
Now, throughout his 31-plus years of experience in editorial and journalism, he has worked as an investigative reporter for Forbes, served as editor of Money and George magazines, appeared as a specialist on Today, Good Morning America, and Nightline, and is currently the special health correspondent for Parade. Mr. Lally was named as one of the top 100 business journalists of the 20th century by TGFR and has won the three most prestigious prizes for excellence in finance journalism, the John Hancock, the University of Missouri Award, and the Gerald Loeb Award. Frank, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here.
We're very, very excited to have you. And, we, you know, doing a lot of reading and learning about some of the investigation that you've been doing over the years. If there's a quick kind of summary for our listeners of what are some of the main things and kind of main points that you've kind of noticed in all your research, what would they be?
Well, you know, let me tell you a little bit about my story, which is, you know, in the book that that just came out, and this is for Touchstone, part of Simon & Schuster, Your Best Healthcare Now. And, you know, here are the three main points, and they're right on the cover. You can get doctor discounts. You can save with better health insurance. And you can find affordable prescriptions. You know, drug costs are so crazy. I'll tell you a couple of stories about that when we talk about my story. But there are ways to get drugs for a fraction of what you might be charged ordinarily. Now, what happened in my case was I was covered. I worked for Time Inc. for many years, and I was covered with a wonderful health benefits until the benefit was eliminated for my drug costs. So instead of the company covering everything up, you know, above $1,000 for my family, there was no coverage whatsoever. I paid out of pocket for all the drugs. Well, that's a problem for any family, but it was especially bad for me because at that point, and this is continuing, I have a blood cancer, and the blood cancer is not curable, but it is treatable. But it was treatable at that moment with a pill that I was taking that cost at retail $570.
A day?
$570 a day.
Wow.
That's correct. That's, by the way, it's not the most expensive drug I've taken. I've taken more expensive drugs than that. And here's the part. I mean, that's a business decision. I don't question that. But when I said, what will this drug cost me next year? No one could give me a straight answer. I made 70 phone calls, 16 different organizations. That's what led to this New York Times story that I wrote. I couldn't find out what this drug would cost. I had estimates from $17,000 a year to $2 a day. Wow. Nobody could give me a straight answer. And at some point, my wife said, look, you just have to write about this. So I did. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, I figured out a way to get a grant that covered the whole cost of my drugs. But if I hadn't done the research, that wouldn't have happened. And what spurred the book, Your Best Healthcare Now, what spurred that was the reaction of the New York Times readers. I got stacks of letters, and people had worse experiences than I did. So I just sat down and said, okay, time for me to go to work on this. It took 3 years. I interviewed more than 300 people, doctors, patients, anyone who had a story. It took me 3 years to write the book, but I think I have everything there that a family would need to cope with this healthcare system we have. We have the best doctors. You've heard this over and over again. We have the best hospitals. We've got the best doctors. People come from all over the world. We have a terrible delivery system. It is very difficult to access this. So that was my point of view, especially with my years at Money Magazine. I made financial journalism simple for people to figure out, well, this is the healthcare system, and there are ways, many ways, that you can do it. You can do things that are just common sense and save a lot of money in the process and get better health care.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about the cost of the drugs. And I have just started reading the book last night. And I got to tell you, it is just incredible to me that there is such a widespread of the possibilities of what it is that you can be paying. If you can share a little bit more on that, and again, as I opened up talking about in regards to my mom, I've just found out this morning that the blood thinner that they want to put her on before they send her home is $700 a pill, and she will need to take one a day for at least the next 8 to 9 months.
Who gets the bill?
Yeah, exactly, and that I don't know. And again, I just got the call this morning. I was driving into the studio, and I had all of those same questions. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, okay, I need to get back to reading the book that I was reading last night when I went to sleep to find out some of these answers.
That's terrible for your mother to be so sick, and then for a drug like that at $700 a day for months?
Yeah.
There are questions. Look, I would say this, and in any circumstance, when you're meeting with your doctor and your doctor is prescribing any medicine, the first question you ask is, why do I need this medicine? And why do I need this dose? So the doctor will convince you that you need the medicine and might say, this will clear up your condition. You will feel better in 1 week. You need to know when, what the benefits of the medicine is and when it will kick in. So this has happened to me time and again. I've taken medicines that were effective and fine, and I didn't need them after 1 week. And early on, before I caught on, I was buying 90 pills. You should see my medicine chest. It's full of 90 pills for medicines that I only needed for a brief time. So why do I need this medicine? Why do I need this dosage? When am I going to feel better? And if I don't, I'm coming back to you for another prescription. The other thing, and dosage is very, very important. I know these big box stores and some supermarkets even will say, come on in, we'll give you even free generic medicines, and we'll give you, you know, no more than $4 or $10 or something like that for a generic if you buy it through us. Here's the thing. Frankly, they only cover about 100 versions of a drug. If your doctor prescribes you a medicine that is a different delivery system, it's a gel, not a tablet, a different dosage than the one that's covered on their approved list, you could be charged as much as $300 to $400 more. And I've looked into this myself, and I call up the pharmacy and I say, look, you know, this version of this drug costs $4. This different dosage costs $400. Why are you charging so much? And you know what the answer is? Because it's not on our approved list. Wow. So that's another thing that you need to do. If you're taking any generic that's on one of these $4 or $10.
It looks like we've lost Frank Lawley. He'll be calling back shortly.
Yes, and I believe our engineer will bring him back up, and as soon as he is, although on my board, it shows him as still being here. So,
yeah. Hello?
Yes, you're back.
I didn't think I ever left. When did I lose you?
We called the generic Frank Lawley. That's what we did.
The generic.
Yeah.
You heard about the big box stores and make sure it's the right dosage. Print out the approved list. Take it to your doctor. Make sure your doctor is prescribing something on the approved list. If that works for you, don't take any chances with a different dosage.
So,
and go ahead.
It's to me, it sounds like an education thing, really. It's preparing ourselves before we go in even to see the doctor on things.
Well, I think that's important. You should, before you see your doctor, have a list of questions. What bothers you and what doesn't bother you? Be careful, and I've been warned about this. Look, I love doctors. Believe me, in my experience here over the last 8 to 10 years, I've made a lot of friends. I'm first-name basis on doctors. I think they're sensational. But there are doctors out there who are trying to run up the bill. Be careful. If the doctor seems to be asking you 10, 15, 20 questions that just don't relate exactly to your condition, that doctor might be looking for a way to prescribe a drug for you that you don't really need, or get a lab test that you don't really need. Before anybody takes your blood, you should say, why are you doing this? What are you looking for in the lab that relates to me? You know, if you're 25 years old, they don't have to check your thyroid. You're fine. You know, unless there's some special reason. So I would say be on guard with some doctors, not doctors that you know and who are terrific. the other thing to keep in mind is, with this high cost of medicine, it's now common for a doctor to say to you, you know, I think you need a certain treatment, and by the way, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to cost you $1,200. And you can look the doctor in the eye and say, look, here's my situation. That's an awful lot of money for me now. Can you give me a discount? Can you cut that price? And you know what? Doctors will not bring it up. You need to bring it up. You need to be sincere. You need to be able to look that doctor in the eye. But if you really can't afford some treatment that you really need, the doctors have standing policies. Virtually all doctors have standing policies about discounts. They'll cut their prices in half. They'll cut it to a third. In some cases, they'll cut it to 10% for people who really are stretched. So, and I've talked to a number of doctors. You know, one of the gratifying things about my book is now that I've got readers calling me back and saying, you know what, or sending me notes, saying, you know what, I never thought to ask my doctor for a discount, but I said, hey, you know, at this point I'm on a fixed income, and can we do something here? And the doctors are cutting their prices by a third for people who need it. I think that's common, and that's one of the reasons, by the way, that I admire doctors, because they tell me they don't want to put a dollar sign between themselves and a patient.
And I think, and I agree, and I have doctors who are friends, and I know that their focus is helping people. But we're also talking about the meds, and in regards to the various meds that are out there, it's my understanding, I mean, the doctors don't have any say-so in regards to that. I mean, they obviously can't discount something that isn't theirs, and if I understand the law correctly, they can't make a profit off of it. So how can we deal with that? In other words, are you also saying, when we're talking to the doctor, are we asking them, look, the newest, greatest thing that's out is this, but is there a generic version of that that isn't, like in this case, $700 a pill for 8 or 9 months per day?
Yeah, that is a perfect question. You need to find out if there's an alternative that's effective. I've talked to a number of patients who found themselves in these situations where they need, you know, and one of my drugs was $18,000 a month. Couldn't find a grant for it, they weren't on Medicare, so they faced a bill like that. What do you do in those situations? If you do the wrong thing, you know, you can end up going without the medicine. If you're in a situation like that, call the drug maker. The drug maker who's setting the exorbitant price. Guess what? They know how much it costs. They know that there are people out there who need the drug to live or to get by, and they can't afford it. So they have programs in place. It's not like an insurance company. Insurance company will put you off. The drug makers have programs in place waiting for these phone calls, and they have policies in place to either reduce the price, and in many cases, the drugs have been sent overnight for free. Now, why would the drug makers do that? Well, one of the reasons, I've been a journalist all my life. I guess that makes me a bit of a cynic, or maybe that's where I was when I started. But my career certainly didn't solve that. I'm still a cynic about some of this stuff. There are people out there really suffering. They can't afford these prices. And you know what? Sometimes they go to the media, and it makes a big story.
Mm-hmm.
They end up on NBC News.
Like, no, that gentleman who raised the prices. Yeah.
So the drug makers have these policies in place, so call the drug maker and get help there.
Not to be a cynic, and I'm sorry to bring the negative energy to this, but, you know, a similar situation happened to me 6 months ago where I went in, I had a skin infection, and they gave me a small sample cream for it to last for a week. And then when I went to fill the prescription, it was like $350 for the cream. And Al and I were discussing earlier a similar situation. This is like a street drug dealer would do, where they give you a little product up front, they get you on the product, and then they kind of hit you with the big price. Is this kind of throughout, you know, all the different drug companies, or is it, you know, certain ones, or
Yes, yes. And they're now look, you need to keep your eyes open. You can take advantage of programs like that. You can ask your doctor. You guys mentioned it. You can ask for free samples, mm-hmm. right? So drug companies, they drop off billions of dollars worth of free drugs, and doctors have them. I walked out of one office with more than $1,000 worth of a non-addictive painkiller.
Wow.
And all I said was, do you have any samples? Oh, do we have samples? The nurse was running down the hall. Oh, yeah. I walked out of there with arms full of this stuff, okay? So that's one way. You can also say, do you have a coupon? Do you have a manufacturer's coupon? Now, it is a bit of a bait and switch. That coupon might work at $4 a month or $10 a month for something like 6 months or maybe even up to a year. The idea is exactly what you say, to get you used to that drug and then get you hooked on that drug and then pay the full price. But on the other hand, you know, it's a way to find out whether that drug works for you, whether you need it long term. I mean, I've done this. I've taken that coupon, used it to sample the drug, and then made a decision about whether it was worth to pay the price or not. And in most cases, it's not. You know what makes me laugh? These Viagra commercials. Well, you can pay anywhere from, I mean, the average price is about $50 a pop, okay?
Wow.
so to speak. you can pay anywhere from $50. You can pay more than $1,000 for a single drug. I've seen that. I've seen pharmacies try to do that, more than $1,000 for a single dosage. Mm-hmm. Or there's a generic. It's not exactly Viagra, and it only comes in a 20 milligram dose, so you might need more than one. On the other hand, you can get down to something like 16 cents a pill. Mm-hmm. And you know what some of these pharmacies are doing? With that 16 cents a pill, they're charging up to $2 for that. I mean, that's a tremendous markup right there.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is continue to question, is this a drug I need? Is this the best price I can pay for this drug? Do I need this dosage? And how long do I need to take it? If you do those four things and ask for free samples, you can at least combat some of this. Come on, let's face it. It's price gouging that's going on in the drug industry.
It's brilliant what you're saying. I mean, I went for a routine oral kind of minor surgery 6 months ago. He wrote me a script for 50 or 40 pain medication things. I think I took one or two of them, and I knew I wasn't going to take them. And I could have, right at the time, sat and said to him, I don't need it, or B, if I do need it, can you write me it for five of them or something, correct?
Correct.
Wow.
And he can. I mean, you're right about, I mean, in some cases, this is the best drug they think for you, and they prescribe it. There's no alternative, and they didn't set the price. On the other hand, they can set the duration, they can set the dosage. I mean, there are drugs. Look, if you see a drug that's indented, if you see a tablet that is indented, guys, that drug can be broken in half. You can take a half dosage.
All right, I think we lost you again, and I'm looking over at our engineer, and I think it may be something on your end, because as I'm looking at the board, you're still with us, at least so it appears on our end.
It's a tease, because it's such good info.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, but it's almost as if you get muted for a short period of time.
I don't know why that's happening. I'm looking now, and I've got a good connection.
Well, you know what? It's whatever it was you were saying. I think Big Pharma's listening in on us, and they didn't want everybody to hear that.
Big Pharma, you know, Big Pharma has it coming to them, but I'm not sure if this Congress is really going to do it. I think they take these outlier guys, you know, like the guy who marked up that drug 5,000%. He's an easy mark, and then Big Pharma walks around and says a lot. He's the bad apple in the barrel. But what Big Pharma is doing is ratcheting up their prices something like 8 to 10% a year.
Wow.
And in some cases, bragging, saying that, you know, guess what? You can trust us because we're not going to mark up our drugs any more than 10% a year. Well, that's an amazing amount to mark up anything. We've reached a point where the public is fed up, can't afford the drugs any longer. The doctors are frustrated, and Congress ought to be doing a lot more than they're doing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And what the people need to understand is that, you know, when things get handled by the public, in other words, when they're taken out of the private sector, sometimes the reason it's done is because the private sector has become so abusive with it that it is the only alternative that we have. And again, and I'm not one that tries to take everything out of the private sector, but when it comes to people's health, I think we're talking about something completely different.
Why wouldn't this nation allow Medicare, you know, with all of its power, to negotiate drug prices? Why wouldn't we do that? 80% of the people approve of that. It's a majority of Republicans as well. That split is not very wide. Why haven't we done it? It's come up year after year. Well, Big Pharma makes big contributions, and the lawmakers don't face up to it. Now, you know, President-elect Trump has promised to bring it up and to get it passed, allow Medicare to negotiate. We'll see. It was on one of his posts in the campaign, and it has disappeared. You know, he's talked about allowing drugs to be imported back into this country. Go right across the Canadian border. Our drugs, same drugs, cost 50% of what we pay here. And we're not allowed to bring those drugs back into this country legally. Again, a great majority of Americans say, allow us to do that.
Sure.
Let's see if President Trump can break through what really is Big Pharma making big contributions. You know, the dues to Big Pharma members now are seeing their dues doubled. What does that tell you? Wow. They're going to fight any of these changes, and it's a shame. They're not making enough profit as it stands now. Look at those drug stock performances. They're off the charts. Mm-hmm. And then look at the price that you have to pay at the pharmacy. This is out of whack, and we need a political solution for some of these steps.
Well, you got that right. You know, on that note, we're going to take a break. But again, for everybody, stay with us. We are talking about something that affects all of us. All right. So you're listening to Answers for the Family. We will be back in 1 minute.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
Welcome back to Answers for the Family. We're here with Frank Lawley. The book, Your Best Healthcare Now, is available now. We're talking a little bit about what's in the book. But as we were going to a break, we had a listener question come in, and we're so thankful, again, for all the people who listen to the show, who write in, comment, like us, and thank you very much. So, Frank, we got a question here from Alicia in Texas for you. And she wrote, not long after Obamacare was enacted, our health insurance premium increased by 20% and our deductible went up 100%. 1 year later, the premium went up another 25%. Now we've been notified our premium will increase another 30% at the end of the year. We have three small children, so we certainly can't afford to not pay these increases, although it's very stressful financially on our family. Does your book cover the expenses facing families with children? I look forward to purchasing your book if it would be a good resource for our situation.
Well, it sounds like she's in a situation where, first of all, she needs to do some shopping. Now, if she were in Obamacare, it does not sound like she is in Obamacare. Then if the family was making less than $97,000, there would be subsidies. And if the family was making less than $50,000, there are substantial subsidies. You can look at a premium of $400 or $500 where people are actually paying, after the subsidies, maybe $150. Uh-huh. And by the way, a month. And by the way, if you're hesitating about signing up for Obamacare this year, because you're afraid it will disappear, that it'll be repealed and replaced, nothing's going to happen overnight. Obamacare will be Obamacare for 2017. We can talk about 2018 later. But for 2017, you have until July 31st to sign up. Please sign up. For that family, I would say if you're not in Obamacare, you're making more than $100,000 a year, then you're getting hit with private insurance premium increases. You need to do some shopping. You need to get an insurance broker, and you need to ask that broker, is this the best policy for my family? Can you get me some competition here at a better price? You have to make some hard decisions. And I would say to any family, don't cut the coverage to save money on the policy. And I would also say, don't focus only on the premiums. Focus on what the total cost of that insurance will be. And if you get a good broker, he's going to be able to tell you what the actuarial value of that policy is. And that just means the percentage that the insurance company expects you to cover for your total health costs. If it's more than about 20%, get the broker to bring back other options, or get on the phone yourself. This is tricky stuff. Health insurance companies make obscuring rules part of their business plan. Don't make any mistake about that. You don't necessarily have a friend on the other end of the line, but you can ask questions like, what are the premiums? What are the deductibles? That's the amount of money that out of your pocket. It could be a very low premium, a zero premium, but the first $4,000 or $5,000 of the expenses could be up to you, because that's the deductible, the amount you have to put up before the insurance company puts up a dime. Wow. So you need to really focus on total costs and make the insurance company, or better yet, a broker you trust, help you get a policy that is a better policy for you, and in many cases, something where you can actually save money. You know, most people on Medicare go year after year without bothering to shop. And something like half of them could get discounts and get a better policy. So, study after study has shown that if you're getting hit with premiums the way that family is getting hit over and over again, you need to do some shopping.
Frank, listening to you and looking at the book, Your Best Healthcare Now, it's almost like an empowerment, a call to arms for people who have just felt really helpless in this system and just write their checks and go to their doctors. And it's almost like the book is a platform for us to really empower ourselves.
Empower reminds me, this is an inflection point in this country. And the reason that this book, by the way, it was featured today in the Wall Street Journal, my book. I'm very proud of that.
Amazing.
The reason the book is getting such a response is that we're at this inflection point where people used to say, well, I don't have to worry about that. My insurance company will cover it.
It's our every 15-minute mute with Frank Lolly.
So now I don't think it was Big Pharma that has cut you off. I think it probably has to do with the big insurance companies now.
I hope he's got an alarm system in his house.
Yeah.
I don't know what's... I cannot explain this. Are we back?
Yes, we are back, and I don't know. I mean, maybe the listeners are hearing you, and just we're not, but...
So we're at that. Let me just finish this one sentence, and then we can go
on.
Please do. But this the inflection point. We're on the other side of that inflection point. People realize how expensive health care is, and then they say, well, what can I do now? Well, my book has a lot of the answers. I spent 3 years on this, as I said before. I interviewed 300 people, in person, first on the telephone or in person, myself, to get answers. And then I try to organize it in a way that you can follow. Like the prescription drug chapter has 17 ways you can save money on prescription drugs. Huh. That's the way I've organized the entire book. It's, yes, I tell my story, but it's really a guidebook, and I've made it as common sense and plain English as I possibly could.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point that you bring that up because, again, I mentioned I was reading the book last night, and I jumped right to that particular chapter because of the situation going on with my mom. So, yes, I think the book really has something for everybody, and I know we've talked a lot about some of the things that are financially related, but what about some of the other things? I know you talk about skipping your routine annual checkup. You talk a little bit about antibiotics. So tell us some of the other things that you mention in the book that isn't just strictly financially tied.
Well, a lot of that stuff actually has a bottom line that is financial, in the sense that you should look. A doctor routinely will give you an EKG, right, to see if you got a flutter in your heart. Virtually, at least half of those, maybe 80% of those, just not necessary. You don't need it unless you have a symptom like that. So, and the annual physical. Look, there's a lot of debate about it. But here's where I come down on it. If you're younger than 50 and healthy, you don't have an ongoing problem, you don't need that annual physical. Go in when you have a symptom. See your doctor when you need him. Don't see your doctor because it's July. why would you do that? So now, if you're over 50, then I would say, yeah, see your doctor, and on a regular basis. Maybe it isn't every 12 months, but maybe it's every 14 months or 15 months. But if you have a symptom, see your doctor immediately. Now, why would I say if you're a little bit older, see your doctor more regularly? Well, certainly you want all your preventive care and so on. But beyond that, you want to develop a relationship with a doctor you can trust. Now, count on this, and you just went through this with your mom. Count on this. Somebody in your family, as you age and as they age, they're going to need a doctor, and they're mm-hmm. going to need a doctor they can trust. And when you realize that in 90% of the cases, doctors tell me, what they prescribe is debatable. I mean, it's their best guess, mm-hmm. but it's only about 10% of the time when they really do it with conviction. So you need a two-way conversation with someone you can trust, and by the way, someone who trusts you. You're not in there every 5 minutes with symptoms. You don't exaggerate things. You're otherwise healthy. He knows your habits. I mean, doctors have said to me, when I have a real relationship with my patient, I can diagnose them before they come in the door. Wow. Okay? You need that relationship. Believe me, when I got really ill, it was my family doctor who really guided me. He was my quarterback. Without him, I wouldn't have gone to the right specialist. I wouldn't have been diagnosed early. I wouldn't have gotten the right drugs that kept my cancer under control. So it's important to have a relationship like that as you age. If you're 30 years old, it's good, and you certainly want to go to a board-certified doctor and all that stuff. But you're otherwise healthy, drive carefully. I'll tell you what happened in our family. Our healthiest and, athletic, most athletic guy was attacked by a feral cat. And he really messed up his knee. So look, anything can happen at any point. But that relationship with that doctor becomes more important as you age.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. And unfortunately, my doctor retired. But it's interesting. I still see him at the gym, so I still ask him questions rather than actually contacting the group of doctors that have now taken over his practice. I still have the relationship after 25 years or whatever to be able to talk to him. So yes, I completely agree. Now, the other thing that you brought up has to do with when you said as far as their conviction, and I think that that's a really important thing for people to understand. And an example, again, using my mom, was she went in some time ago in regards to a back issue. And as she went in there, and she was told that they're going to need to do an operation, and it's like an L4, L5 operation. She couldn't relate to me if it was a fusion or if it was a laminectomy. I was asking questions like, what size is the herniation? And I said, okay, well, when you go in, I'm just going to go in with you. So I went in. I was placed in the room with my mom as we were waiting for the doctor, and her x-rays were up on the wall, and I started looking at them. And when the doctor came in, I turned to him and said, okay, so what size herniation are we talking about, and are you really thinking about doing a fusion or a laminectomy? And as I asked more questions, by the time we were done, he changed his entire attitude, and he said, well, no, she misunderstood. I wasn't really going to have her do the operation now. I just needed a second look. And all of a sudden, I got the feeling that because somebody else was asking questions, he wasn't as sold on the fact of doing what may have been, a $60,000 operation. So right. I completely agree with the fact that, ask the questions and make sure that there is some conviction to her needing that, because as it turned out, she didn't, and now her back is actually doing much better.
And the backs are, backs are a problem, and people treat them, look, it hurts. I've had two back surgeries. It hurts. You can't walk a half a block. But most lower back complaints, even when they drag on, even when they seem chronic, actually aren't. They clear up in about 3 months. It's one of the things most overtreated in this country. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one more thing. My second back surgery, and this is a guy I really wanted and I thought I really needed, okay? No insurance coverage whatsoever, and he wanted $40,000. But he said, hey, call my business office. I'm sure we can work something out. Business office said, okay, he'll do it for $20,000. I talked to my wife, and I called back and said, I'm sorry, we can't afford that. He said, all right, let me try one more time. And he called me back and said, okay, 15. And I talked to my wife again, and I called back and said, all we can afford is $10,000. And you know what? The doctor said yes. Mm-hmm. The doctor said yes the next day. Performed the operation, did it brilliantly. And when I woke up in the hospital, that his face was the first face I saw. He was smiling down at me in the middle of the summer, okay, where he could have been out at the Hamptons. But he was with me, treating me on a Saturday. So you need to really drill down to the question you got to, do I really need this surgery now? I could have a surgery tomorrow. I know I could. I could go up to Mount Sinai in New York, and they would operate on my spine. Believe me. But you know what? I'm getting by. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. So there's a lot in medicine that's debatable. I love doctors, and I think the amount of progress we're making is astounding. I mean, the sum of medical knowledge is doubling every 2 years. You can see what that says about the future of anyone who has a disease or is fearful of having a disease. The sum of medical knowledge is doubling every 2 years, and that's going to accelerate. So we're going to have better drugs, we're going to have better informed doctors, but it still comes down to a series of questions about whether I really need the care now and what care I need at what cost. and what can we possibly do to make that affordable? That's what this book is all about. And what the readers are saying to me is, you know, okay, the book, I bought it on Amazon, it cost me $20. It has saved me hundreds of dollars already.
Yeah, or thousands.
Feedback on it. Now you're broken.
Yeah, no.
You broke up for a minute.
Now I'm the one breaking up. But yes, and I'm glad that in regards to as far as you bringing up the book again, because again, the book is called The Best Healthcare Now. And we've got about five more minutes. Now, is this something they can get at any store? Can they get it at your website? Where are the best places to get this book?
I would say,
All right, now we've lost you again, and I'm calling conspiracy right now, because as soon as we talk about something that seems to take money out of the pockets of big pharma or out of big hospital care, one or the other of us gets cut off.
Right.
So
I was saying, I mean, you can find it at Amazon and click, and it's yours.
All right, and if they want to reach you, what is the website that they can go to?
Yes, it's healthcaredetective.us.
Okay.
Healthcaredetective.us.
All right. And do you have a blog, or are you on Facebook? What is some of your social media?
That's where it is. You can go to my website, and that's where I am.
Okay, perfect. Now, we've got another question. Again, this is another listener's question. This one reads, my friend's 16-year-old daughter had an emergency appendectomy last month. She was rushed to the hospital from school. They did what they claimed to be a simple operating procedure and released her the next day. The bill for the one-day stay and the procedure was $42,000. My friend is a single mom with no or little child support, and her out-of-pocket of 20% deductible with the other expenses was nearly $10,000. What is your experience in these cases, and how could the hospital possibly justify these outrageous charges? Is there anything people can do after the fact in these situations, or do the hospitals just have a free rein to get by with this highway robbery? And this is from Joanne in California.
Yeah, too common a story. And if it's an emergency like that, it's very difficult. I mean, obviously, you can't. Your daughter needs an operation. You can't say, "Hold on a minute, what's it really going to cost me here?" So then the bill comes, and then what do? You're shocked. It's $40,000 for what seems like a routine. You know, thank God they were there, but what seems like not $40,000 worth of time and effort on part of the hospital. Well, one thing you can do is demand the bill. Mm-hmm. In 50% of the cases, when people look at a detailed hospital bill, they find significant errors, 50% of the time. If you can't understand the bill, because it has code numbers on and whatnot, bring it to your doctor and see if your doctor can help you. If that doesn't work, there are advocates, healthcare advocates out there. It's a cottage industry in this country, and they're all over the country. And these healthcare advocates can step in and negotiate with the hospital. Now, remember this. If the hospital goes to a collection agency, they're giving up 50% of the bill. So you're almost in a situation where if you can point out some significant errors, that should be cleaned up with a simple phone call. If you're really in a debate with them, then remember, if it gets to the collection agency, they're surrendering 50%. So if you said to them, you know what, I'll pay 60% of that bill and I'll pay it over time, you probably can work out a deal. If you're not in an emergency, if you're pregnant or thinking about that, or there's some other operation that you know you're going to need down the road, go into the hospital and negotiate up front. That's the best thing to do. And then make a deal right there that describes the operation you're coming in or the procedures and so on and what the bill is going to be. And no surprises, no doctor who isn't in network or any of those businesses, or the doctor doing two operations at the same time and then billing you for the complete hour when he was only around for a half hour. I mean, this stuff happens every day in our hospitals. So if you have a chance, negotiate up front, come to some reasonable agreement. And if not, then think about these Medicare advocates. I've interviewed a number of them. They're awfully good, very smart. And if they're local, they may have a relationship with the hospital that makes this a very easy conversation at the end of the day once they get involved.
Now, Frank, we're just about out of time. I do have a quick question in regards to that negotiation. Is it legal to negotiate just the deductible, or if you're negotiating a percentage, is it a percentage of the whole thing?
Now, are we talking about a hospital now?
A hospital or a doctor, just to be able to negotiate that.
Well, yes, you can negotiate the fees.
Okay.
Certainly when it's an issue, you can negotiate those fees. I mean, doctors can negotiate their fees.
Right, but what I mean is
that's what we're talking about.
But to negotiate just the deductible, in other words, you know, in this situation of them going in and saying, if they could have done this before, and they say, look, the procedure is going to be $42,000, and can the mother say, okay, look, I need to negotiate the fact that 20% of that is $8,000, you know, or whatever, and that I can't afford to do. Can you negotiate just that deductible part?
Just the deductible.
No. And not the insurance's part?
No, because that's she's stuck with an insurance plan at that point. So she's on the hook for that 20%. Where you can negotiate is up front, and certainly where you can negotiate, and this comes up in radiology and other outpatient businesses like that, X-ray scans. You can say, don't put it through my insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That deductible is too high. I'll pay you cash up front. So let's say the doctors could collect, let's say you collect $600 from your insurance company, and you offer them $500 cash. Why would he take the $500? Less hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Much less hassle.
All right.
So, go to clearhealthcost.com.
There we go.
That'll give you prices for procedures and, in some cases, doctors, in some cases in your own town. But even if it isn't in your own town, at least you have the prevailing price for the procedure you're facing, and it's going to help you in any conversation or negotiation you might have with your doctor. And cash instead of your insurance company. It's deductible. It's coming out of your pocket anyway. If you can get the doctor to take less just by handing him some cash, have the conversation. It's all legal.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so much. We're out of time. Again, if anybody out there, get the book. It's called The Best Healthcare Now. I'm reading it now. It can help all of us. Again, Frank, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, be with us again next week on Answers for the Family. And our guest will be discussing her new book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. Take care and have a great week.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.